Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Do you feel like you're the only young person who cares about your Catholic faith? Do you look around at Mass and only see silver foxes?
We're Jake and Kathy, a young adult married couple, and we're here to tell you, you're not alone.
That's why it's time to get Truth Pops.
You're going to get a podcast designed specifically for you, a young adult Catholic in a pop culture world.
The countdown is on for Truth Pop.
We'll connect Christ into culture.
Pulse FM and the Studio DNA Podcast Network present What Else with Corey Mann. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit the archives on Apple, Spotify, or Google Play. Part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
My guest on this episode is Brandon Lake. He leads worship at Seacoast Church in South Carolina. When you talk about singers, songwriters, worship leaders in the church right now, this is a name that bubbles to the top real quick. His most recent project out now called House of Miracles. I'm going to give it the Corey Mann two thumbs up. I'm catching up with Brandon. He's in a writing room, a performance room at his church. It's a big room. It'll sound a little echoey on his end as he sits and talks to me in front of a piano. Brandon Lake, also part of the Bethel Music Movement.
I stand on holy ground. My faith will not be moved. All my defense is down. Come and do what you want to do. Father, I'm listening. I'm hungry for your word. I would give up anything to see your kingdom flood the earth.
Let's start with point of origin. Would Charleston, South Carolina be where it all began?
This was pretty wild, but I was born in Dallas, Texas, only there for a year because my dad was in seminary, making next to nothing, raising me. But we were there for a short stint, and then we moved to Myrtle Beach. And I grew up there till about 15, Dirty Myrtle. And then we moved to Charleston. And so I would say Charleston's where I kind of went from being a boy to a man, you know.
What do you remember about Myrtle Beach growing up?
No, it was my childhood, you know? So I remember I grew up basically going to the beach like multiple times a week. Definitely, you know, lots of surfing. Even the surf was horrible. We would still surf all the time. Yeah, honestly, it was the most amazing. You know, I grew up in a church plant. We planted a church in Conway, which is right outside Myrtle Beach. Honestly, my childhood is like watching God move and show up when we barely had anything. God would provide and literally watched a church be built from literally the ground up. And I remember going out there and praying over trees and just being like, my dad's like, I see our church, you know? And that's a pretty wild upbringing, you know, full of faith. So it was, that's kind of what I think about more than anything.
Is dad still in ministry?
Yeah, he is. He actually, then we moved to Charleston, was on staff here at Seacoast, which I'm now a worship pastor here at Seacoast Church in Charleston. But then he went on and he has been working with basically church planners, and he works with churches all across the world, basically helping them build a leadership pipeline. So he is a leadership guru. I've learned a ton from him, and I feel like in a lot of ways I'm standing on his shoulders. So,
tell me about Charleston, South Carolina. I apologize. I've never been. I've heard great things.
Yeah, well, you definitely got to come to church at Seacoast Church here in Mount Pleasant. And then we have campuses all over, too. So that's been such a joy, is watching the church grow. And we have campuses on basically every island around here, which is super cool. You're definitely going to want to eat. I take everybody to Page's Okra Grill to get shrimp and grits. It is amazing. Amazing. If you want an amazing steak, go to Hall's Chop House downtown. You're going to have them. You're going to be treated like royalty there. Yeah, we have some of the best restaurants, some of the best seafood. I think it's Raw 167 has some of the best tuna burgers and oysters. And yeah, it's a good time here. It's very historic. And it's like one of those cities. It's like not huge, but it's also not tiny either. So it's a perfect blend of all that beach vibe, historic vibe, young hipster vibe, older, you know, hoity-toity vibe.
An acquaintance friend of mine tweeted out his love for worship music, and he put the spotlight on your new baby.
Wow.
He said, this is one of the probably the top five now in my collection of worship albums. And I thought, wow, top five in the last, let's even go last decade. Let's think about that. Who's come out with stuff and the songs being played in the church. So I lean into it. And young man, you are on to something.
Wow. Thank you. Good night.
It is so good. Your album reads like a laundry list of the big names in CCM and church. And please tell me, A, you know that God's obviously got his hand on you maneuvering stuff, but working with that caliber of people, what's that been like?
It's literally been my dream come true. Like, it's literally been every hero of mine. I think I've partnered with and written with or featured with or been in the room with literally every hero of mine in the past 2 years, maybe except for an exception of one or two people that I'm still working on. But I think that what has paid off is what my dad has really taught me is to be aggressive and to learn from people and not to get somewhere, but to grow somewhere, right? So like try to, as much as you can, you know, knock on all your heroes' doors, because the chances are at some point they'll be open to spending time with you and pick their brain and learn from them. And it's just been, not only has it been so exciting and what we've been able to produce together as I'm writing with all my heroes, it's been so good just to learn from them and to then now call them family. Like the fact that Phil Wickham will call my phone, like literally every time he calls, my wife, and my wife's like around, she's like, is that ever get old? I'm like, no, it still blows my mind. Which, by the way, we're going to be, me and Phil got some stuff up our sleeve, but you know, it's just been, it's literally been, it's been my dream. You know, it's been my dream come true, and everything I've asked God for, he's really given me, and it's been an acceleration the past 2 years. And what I've learned is that I think it's a direct correlation from obedience and faithfulness, and that's been really cool to watch. Like, the more I stay faithful to God, the more I feel like he opens doors of opportunity.
I'm going to name drop, and you're going to either give me, like, one word that sums up your experience with them, or if you got a story up your sleeves. Or whatever. So I'll give you some names and we'll go from there, okay?
Hey, all right, sounds great.
Let's start with the Silver Fox, Matt Marr.
Matt Marr. Oh, man, wisdom. Wisdom. That's been my experience with him. And fun. I've never met somebody who's like, just feels like he is just the wisest man, not just because he has silver hair, but he really is. You feel like you're hanging out with a father, like a guy who's been through some stuff that you could really grow from. But then he's also like, he's a blast. We got a few days together on this roadshow tour, and he honestly made that tour. Before COVID cut it off, he made that tour for me.
Have you gotten into a Star Wars conversation with him?
No, I have not. Although this past, during COVID, we watched all of them. But like, I still don't know like all the terms and the phrases and the worlds and all that. So
if you want to have your mind blown, just jot down a couple questions and just sail them past him and just watch what happens.
I'll try that next time for sure.
How about down the street 3 hours, Chris Brown?
Oh, man, loving. Like, this dude is, he has been gracious and generous and sweet. Just like, he's just the sweetest dude. Like, so comfortable, easygoing. And then, I mean, voice of an angel. Literally, if there's probably another voice I could be, it would be Chris Brown.
Tasha Cobbs Leonard.
Straight fire. If the fire of God was in a person, only a person, it would be that woman. Like, oh my goodness. You know what? What I love about Tasha the most, besides the fact that anytime she sings, I literally just melt and cry and curl up in the fetal position and lose it, is she has brought me in like I'm her younger brother. And she has looked out for me in this industry. She has loved on me. She has pushed me. She's challenged me. I mean, she really is like a spiritual mother. She's for sure a spiritual mother in my life.
Rebecca St. James.
Rebecca St. James, man, I think what comes to mind is how proud I am of her. She took like such a long break, and I just feel like she's been working so hard to present something that is like not just what people would expect of her, but she's presenting something that's actually her life story and the things that she's been going through. And so when I think of Rebecca, I think of honesty. Yeah, like integrity.
You and I are kindred spirits. I may have a few pieces of artwork on my arm. I may have gotten something just yesterday, but I can't quite get to it because I got a hoodie on. But I would love to know, because if anyone sees any of your artwork from your album or online, they'll notice that you're quite tatted up. Do you have any stories and any particular ones you can share with me? Like, this one means this. This one over here is awesome because of this. Yeah. What do you got, man?
Try to fly through some. So my first one is in the oldest, very first tattoo is this one, and it's Elijah, and where God sends ravens to feed him. I think it's in 1 Kings or 2 Kings. Can't remember. I think, anyways, that passage where God sends ravens. What God has been to me more than anything, I feel like, has been a provider. So I loved that story of God's provision. So I got that, you know, go big or go home, first tat. Then I got this old record player. So the more tattoos I got, the more I started to fall in love with like traditional style. I got this record player. It's kind of sideways, but it's it says All My Lovin'. That we used to sing that to my oldest son when he was a baby every night.
Sung by
Beatles. All my lovin'.
Pause button. Here's the part of the story where I tell you I stood up, basically took off my hoodie, lifted up my left sleeve, and showed Brandon my literally brand new tattoo of the Fab Four on my left bicep.
Let's go. No way. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. That is amazing. Is that the new one?
Yeah.
No way. It's flawless. I love it, dude. What? Okay. That beats all my tattoos. I'm done. No, I'm just kidding. That's amazing.
Dude, we're meant to be friends. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
I love it. So the funniest one, no, I have a really funny one. Not funny, but like everyone asked me who this cowgirl is.
Yes.
And I don't know. I just wanted a cowgirl. So now we just like named her, my friends named her Gretchen McCormick. And so I just like, oh yeah, it's, or I'll be like, it's my grandma when she was, you know, younger. But my funniest tattoo, well, wildest tattoo is, well, two. One, I tattooed my own foot one day because somebody had a tattoo gun set up in the church office for whatever reason. So I did a smiley face on my foot, I thinking it would wear away. Definitely still there 10 years later. And then the funniest, wildest tattoo I have is my first record called Closer. I raised all the money by myself, and or I raised the money, you know, did GoFundMe. And raised 30 grand and in a matter of like 3 to 4 months. And there was a point where I was like, okay, I got to get creative here. I need some more money to come in. So I said, if you give me a certain amount of money, I'll tattoo your name on my leg. So I have 22 last names on my thigh, my upper thigh. So my wife isn't really in love with that one. But hey, it represents about $8,000 to $10,000 that got me through and got that record out, and I don't regret it. So every time I look at my leg, I think about how, you know, it was a miracle, and the record's out. It's opened a lot of doors for me. So
that's a great story. I love that. I've been listening to your album on the way in just to get in the right mindset. There's a couple of big standout songs, so I'd love to give you some song titles, and you just give me a behind the music, if you don't mind. Tell me about where the song came from or where your headspace was at. But let's start right at the beginning, and we're playing it now. I Need a Ghost.
I need a
Yes. So I Need a Ghost. I wrote almost entirely in the car without an instrument, and it came to me pretty much all at once. And then my friend Joshua Silverberg helped me clean it up. And I remember writing it and just singing it into my phone without an instrument. I just heard it in my head. So much so that when we went to the studio to start recording it, I had to I'm not an idiot when it comes to chords, but I was basically like, I don't know how to play this yet. I can sing it to you and then we'll figure out what the chords are and stuff, right? And so I basically sang it in my phone and then I sent it to one of my producers and I sent it to my label. I was like, hey, I don't know what this is, but it sounds like something fresh I should lean into. And immediately it was just one of those, like, it was affirmed immediately. The label and my producer texted back and said, what is this? This is like fire, dude. We gotta do this. I hear it already. And so I was like, man, I don't know. I just hear this, like, Imagine Dragons meets Adele, like something, you know, Need to Breathe, kind of like those worlds, you know, colliding. And yeah, so that's kind of the behind I Need a Ghost.
House of Miracles, I love it sonically. It is something out in left field that I don't think we've heard yet. And then I hear these children's voices, so I know there's got to be a story there.
Oh, of course. Those are my two boys, Blaze and Bo. They're 5 and 3. And so we're getting closer to the end of the record, right? And I was like, man, I don't have a song about miracles. And that's played such a huge part in my life. So one of the days we were supposed to pre-pro a different song, me and one of my producers, Jacob Suter, who produced that song, we're like, I don't think we're supposed to work on the whatever song we're supposed to work on. I think we're supposed to write one. And so I start like telling him about what I want to prophesy, what I want to, you know, lean into, what I want to speak and release. And so we kind of had this theme. Man, I don't have enough time to tell you the backstory of this song, but God woke me up in the middle of the night and gave me language for something. It's also tied into like what me and my wife's ministry is all about and what we do out of our house and how we have people come in and love on them and see them restored. We just wanted to literally, we moved 2 months ago into our new house and we're calling it our house of miracles. And because we can host a couple, we have a little detached space. But anyways, I this phrase hit me. We go back, I went to the Airbnb and came back. And I was like, I have it. It's called House of Miracles. Let's write it. And literally in the next 40 minutes, we wrote that song. And we knew we wanted to be simple for the church. And we wanted to be so filled with faith. Like, this is a house of miracles. Like, and it's just, you know, I wanted to speak over everything that was dying or dead. Come alive in the name of Jesus. We bring everything before the feet of Jesus. And then when I was one day, I was at home because of COVID. And I just pulled out my iPhone. I said, hey, boys, sing this. Like, let's scream this chorus with me. So I go, 1, 2, 3. And they just said, come alive. And there's something about that sound. The sound of children agreeing and saying, come alive. Like, it's just, I just felt like it had, you know, it had to be in the track somewhere. I sent it to Jacob and he perfectly fit it in every chorus. And so, yeah, that's House of Miracles. Yeah. It's, I wish I could tell you even more about it, but that's kind of a snippet.
That'll be part two of our podcast down the road. How about that? You've got some real estate on our station because we played The Battle is the Lord's. We're playing I Need a Ghost. We're currently playing Graves in the Gardens. That's something of yours, right?
Yes, sir. That's probably been my favorite song. Definitely been my favorite song, maybe that I've ever written. And I wrote it with Pastor Steven and Furtick and Chris Brown and Tiffany Hammer. And that one I've gotten probably more stories back from that song of how it's impacted people than anything. That one and definitely This Is a Move is hits really close to home. But yeah, so that one probably the most fun too. It was like my first time writing with them, and I didn't know much about Pastor Steven off the platform. And it was one of the most beautiful writes. And we're working on the song. And then at one point he starts getting on the electric guitar and he just starts, bum, 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 you know, and starts just hitting this. And this riff on the guitar, which ended up becoming the bridge of Graves in the Gardens. And yeah, that was sick.
There is an epic song in the church right now. And it's your fault, sir. Rattle is amazing.
Ah, thank you. We wrote the song. We're like, it's pretty, but it's not doing anything for me really. Right. So then we rewrote it from Friday. We did a Zoom, right. We rewrote it Saturday over the phone, not even FaceTime. We literally, Pastor Steven called us and we rewrote a lot of it and reorganized a lot of it. Then Sunday after church, I stayed back and we workshopped it. And like 5 minutes before we walk out with the band to workshop it, I go back into Pastor Steven's office. And he's like, hold on, the chorus isn't right. And then that's when everything kind of really shifted and we landed the song and what you hear now. And we actually joke, I probably shouldn't let the cat out of the bag, but we kind of joke that we're in a band together called Rat Tail. Like these songs we've been writing, we've got a new one. I don't know when it'll come out, but it kind of has the same spirit. It's just like, it's rowdy. Right. And, it's got that sound of resurrection. It's just loud and it's aggressive in a good way, in an authoritative, like God's given us this authority and this confidence. And so, yeah, we kind of joke that we're in a punk rock band together and we're writing songs for Elevation Worship, but really like a punk rock band.
Rat Tail. House of Miracles is the new record. Been out for, let's see, according to a calendar, about a month.
Yep.
So you got a month old under your roof. And how are you feeling with that in the rearview mirrors?
Yeah, 100%. You know, actually, I'm here at the church and I ran into a friend and he just said, hey, man, what I love about your record the most is that every time you come back to it, you discover something different. You discover something new. And I think that's one thing that I'm proud of. And I really say that and give the credit to my producers. But you know, every song does not sound the same. Like there's a lot of every song is quite different in production wise and even writing and attitude and the spiritual temperature. You've got a lot of rowdy songs, but then you've got a lot of intimate songs. And, you know, I think I'm proud that we did what we set out to do. And that show both ends of the spectrum of rowdy, but also reflective and, you know, something that screams, but then also something that speaks deep and that is like intimate, you know? And so I'm proud that I feel like I showed a lot of what my relationship with God looks like.
It sounds like you grew up around faith and the church and Jesus, but when did you discover who he was and the light bulb went on?
Yeah, the light bulb went on when we moved from Myrtle Beach to Charleston. And it was the first time I really had to trust God, myself, and not rely on my parents' faith. And that's when my faith became my own. And I remember my dad taking me out to the IOP pier. We were here for a trip, and he said, "Hey, bud, we're thinking about moving here, but I kind of want your blessing." And I mean, for me to be 13 years old and not get my dad asking me, "Can I have your blessing? Can we move here? Are you cool with that?" Dude, I mean, what that did for me, it like gave me ownership in it. It made me feel like a man, and I was a part of the family, you know? And I just remember literally in that moment, he's like, "Are you okay with it?" And I literally felt a piece of God come over me, and I was like, "I'm in." It was literally the most terrifying thing, because I had built such, I mean, when you plant a church in a city, you know everybody. And so that was my childhood, was I knew everybody and had amazing friends, but for some reason, I just felt like I was supposed to trust God. And I'm certainly glad I did. And I feel like he became super real to me when I decided to trust him myself and not rely on my parents' faith.
What's interesting is that you've just put out a record a month ago, and I'm calling you and you're writing music again. I mean, it just keeps going, doesn't it?
Yeah. It keeps going when it's like literally what your heart burns for, right? And when you're passionate, you can't help but do it. And also, I feel like I'd get depressed if I didn't, you know, it's therapeutic. And then also it's just what I'm called to. And it's so much fun. I think that's probably one of the main reasons why I'm excited to have the record out, is that now I'm literally going back to Nashville and getting back in the studio, and I'm just creating for the sake of creating and having fun. No pressure for it to, you know, be anything, and got time to play around. But I'm not just playing around. I'm actually really, really excited about some of the next songs that I'm going to be releasing to help people.
Brandon Lake, you're on Instagram, if I have read correctly and seen correctly. I love all the questions of what conditioner you use. Very important questions to be asked.
People always ask me my routine. I'm like, I haven't shampooed my hair in years. Only condition, shampoo's bad for my kind of hair. And I use Pantene Pro V, but I've heard it's really bad for you. So I'm looking for organic substitution. So if anybody's listening and you know or have a hookup with organic conditioner, and it's good for thick hair, help your boy out.
Brandon Lake, you are an absolute pleasure. And your music does something for me in this time period, this season of life. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate 30 minutes. That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely, man. My honor to be on here. It's great talking with you. Thank you.
You've been listening to What Else with Corey Mann, part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Production elements and voiceovers by audiblegenesis.com. Find complete podcast tools and production at audiblegenesis.com. Find this podcast and older episodes on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Leave a comment or review, tell a friend, and thank you for listening.
Everybody get out of here! There's a lobster loose! Oh, holy cow, he's loose!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.